After the sea was parted and the Israelites were saved from the pursuing Egyptians, Moses and the children of Israel sang the song of the sea, praising God for having saved them. Quote, "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang the song to God, and they said as follows, I will sing out to God, for he is exalted above all exaltedness. A horse and its rider he heaved into the sea." Following the conclusion of the song 19 verses later, the Torah relates that Miriam, leading the women, sang as well. Quote, "Then Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dancing. And Miriam sang for them, 'Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and driver he has hurled into the sea.'" Now, what prompted Miriam and the women to rejoice in song, music, and dance? The traditional commentaries offer a few suggestions. However, to fully understand their comments, we must first address two questions that require our interpretation. One, why is Miriam referred to as the prophetess and Aaron's sister? Or in other words, why Aaron's sister and not Moses' sister? And why is she called the prophetess at this juncture? Question two, having left Egypt in haste, where did the women find instruments to accompany their singing? Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, 1040 to 1105, France, addresses both questions based on rabbinic sources, and I quote, "When did she prophesy? When she was known only as Aaron's sister, before Moses was born, she said, 'My mother is destined to bear a son who will save Israel.'" And this is found in the Talmud, Sota 12b. According to this rabbinic tradition, then, Miriam foresaw that her mother would give birth to the one who would redeem the children of Israel. By using the epithets prophetess and Aaron's sister, the Torah is thereby alluding to the rabbinic tradition of Miriam's prescient declaration made many years preceding the event when Aaron was her only brother. The second question is commented upon by Rashi as well, and I quote, "The righteous women of that generation were so certain that the Holy One, blessed be he, would perform miracles for them, they took timbrels out of Egypt." Source from the Mechilta. Now Rashi is following the tradition of the rabbis, specifically Rabbi Akiva, who states that on account of the merit of the righteous women, the Israelites were redeemed from Egypt. The women exhibited their resolute belief in God's imminent redemption long before the event by bringing along musical instruments in order to be prepared to praise God in a truly celebratory manner. So both Miriam and the women firmly believed in God's ultimate redemption of the Israelites. Based on these rabbinic understandings, we can address our primary question. Why did Miriam and the women sing and rejoice with instruments and dance while no such mention is made of accompanying music and dance during the song of Moses in the preceding verses? We will examine three responses of traditional commentators to our question. First, the Malbim, Rabbi Leibush ben Yechiel Michel Weiser, 1809 to 1879, Russia, suggests the following. I quote, "And she, Miriam, was called the sister of Aaron, as Chazal, our sages of blessed memory, explained, since she prophesied when she was only Aaron's sister before Moses was born, that a son would be born to her mother who would become the Redeemer and the Savior. And now that her prophecy was fulfilled, she took the timbrel in hand." So it seems that Miriam's singing and musical response was a spontaneous reaction to the fulfillment of her prophecy, a kind of hallelujah moment. The timbrels and dancing were an external manifestation of her internal emotional state of joy, an extension of her inner self at that very moment. So too says Malbim concerning the women who followed her. Realizing that all this was done on account of their righteousness, they responded with particular rejoicing for the role they and their righteousness had played. In both cases, then, the joy was overflowing and exhibited itself in singing, dancing, and musical accompaniment. This is one model of the relationship between prayer, singing, music, and our emotions. Commentary number two, Kli Yakar, Shlomo Ephraim Lunshitz, 1550 to 1619 Prague, on the other hand, sees the musical outpouring not as a spontaneous outburst, but rather as one intended to induce a state of joy. Differing from both Rashi and Malbim, who quote the rabbinic tradition that Miriam prophesied before Moses was born, Kliyakar suggests that Miriam only became a prophetess at the time of the splitting of the sea, as did the other women. And I quote, "Now she, Miriam, became a prophetess, for on this occasion the women also merited to see the divine presence until they said, 'This is my God,' as our sages stated. Since the divine presence does not rest among anyone except through joy, Miriam took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels, dancing in circles, in order that the divine presence would descend upon them through joy." So according to Kliyakar, the music, dancing, singing was a means to an end. It was intended to arouse a joyful state of being, very different from Malbim, who understood the joyous outpouring as the manifestation of the already existing joy, rather than a means to attaining that joy. Are their approaches really so different, or perhaps complementary? Upon closer examination of Malbim's comments, one might say that Miriam's spontaneous response inspired the women to rejoice as well. Indeed, in prayer settings, an inspired leader or congregant may inspire others to more heartfelt prayer and singing. Nevertheless, the lines are blurred. It's not easy to tell which is the spontaneous and which is the induced expression of joy, for the induced expression may be indistinguishable from the spontaneous. That's why it's difficult to know whether the women who followed Miriam's spontaneous display were influenced to participate in her experience, or were somehow encouraged to release their inner emotions in a spontaneous manner as well. If this sounds somewhat confusing, that's because it is. Finally, Rabbi Zalman Sorotzkin, 1881-1966, Poland, Jerusalem, in his book Insights in the Torah, offers a third possible answer to our question, why Miriam and the women in particular rejoiced with song, instruments, and dance. And I quote, "Miriam did not sing a new song. She and the women only repeated the song of Moses and the children of Israel with greater vivacity and emotion, with drums and dancing, elements which God has graced the women more than men. It was the same song, but with an intense concentration and sacred fervor surpassing that of the men. Indeed, the women of that generation were more righteous than the men, and it was by their merit that our ancestors were redeemed." Rabbi Sorotzkin seems to be offering a third prayer model for us. According to his interpretation, Miriam and the women did not sing a new song, but instead made the old song their own by infusing it with their own intense concentration and sacred fervor. Today as well, there are some who create their own services based on traditional ones, not creating new liturgy, but rather imbuing the service with a musical spirit that speaks to their souls. We've explored three comments dealing with the nature of Miriam's and the women's musical accompaniment of the Song of the Sea to help us think about our own various prayer experiences. One model suggested a spontaneous outburst of song, music, and dance. A second model spoke of the induced experience, where onlookers or participants are inspired to express themselves in song and music. And the third model spoke of a more intentional style of inspired prayer, where like-minded spirits come together to refashion traditional services with their sacred fervor. As I mentioned above, I think that the lines of the models are blurred, and that we may actually experience more than one of the prayer models, even during the same prayer occasion. Since the Torah doesn't tell us what happened after Miriam and the women added a musical element to their prayer song, my hunch, based on our analysis, is that some of the men were inspired by the women to sing more fervently, dance, and play instruments as well. If you enjoy these commentaries, check out our other resources on the web, including new videos for Passover at learn.jtsa.edu.